As we continue to walk through the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, we're at Article Number 2. We affirm that the Scriptures are the supreme written norm by which God binds the conscience, and that the authority of the Church is subordinate to that of Scripture. So we see this, and what is it that binds the conscience? It's the law of God. Galatians 3:24 reads, "Therefore the law has become our tutor to help us to Christ, so that we may be justified by faith." Romans 7:7-12, "What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it was to covet if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me and through it killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good." At this point, it's good to reaffirm commitment to the doctrine of sola scriptura, as was mentioned last week, and will probably continue to come up as we work our way through these different affirmations, that it is the Word of God alone that is the rule for how we should live. It's the Word of God alone that is above all other things. Wayne Grudem, who is one of the original signers of the document, wrote, "We must continually remember that we have in the Bible God's very words, and we must not try to improve on them in some way, for this simply cannot be done." This week's denial, the second part of the statement, we deny that church creeds, councils, or declarations have authority greater than or equal to the authority of the Bible. I'll actually take this denial a step further and broaden it out to state that any book, article, sermon, or any other form of communication by any man falls short of the authority of the Bible. No matter how revered or honorable a man may be, his words are not equal in authority to the words of Scripture. In fact, a man's words are only worth anything at all as far as they align with Scripture. If their teachings do not align with Scripture, then the words aren't worth the pages that they are printed on. Consider how in Acts 17, the Berean believers were praised for reviewing what Paul taught as it compared to Scripture to see what was true. Upon the closing of the canon of Scripture, the Holy Spirit ceased inspiring further writings. While there may have been many great men in the past, John Bunyan, Martin Luther, Jonathan Edwards, and many others, it is critical to remember that the only value in their teachings is in helping us to accurately understand God's Word. I recently completed reading a book on Martin Luther that pointed out how much of his teaching is glossed over by modern men. From what I understand, Martin Luther would have called me and several others who attend this church heretics, as we don't agree with him on certain theological matters. Late in his life, he wrote that the Jews should be killed. This particular text was actually used by the Nazis as indoctrination materials. Am I saying to cast out all that Martin Luther said or taught? By no means. But I am saying that his teaching only holds any value where it aligns with Scripture. And even then, it must be kept in mind that it is always of a lower authority. We should believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, not because that's what Martin Luther taught, but because it is what God clearly said in Scripture. A recent issue of Table Talk from Ligonier Ministry discussed study Bibles, something that many of us have and use. One thing to keep in mind is it is only the actual words of Scripture that are inspired. All of the additional comments, notes, and all of those things, even though they're contained within your Bible, are not inerrant. They are man's words and should not carry the same weight as the text of Scripture itself. In John 17:17, Jesus prayed, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." He did not pray for the Father to sanctify them in the truth. Calvin's Institutes or Spurgeon's sermons are truth. Jesus used the word truth and not true, and I think there's some great value in that. To say something is true means that it lines up well with the truth. But by declaring God's word to be the truth, Jesus is establishing that standard by which all other things should be compared to see if they are true or not. So while there may be many things written or said by godly men that are true, the only source of truth is Scripture itself. Creeds, confessions, catechisms, and even statements like this one we're working through certainly do have a place in the church today. That place, though, must always be at a lower position of authority than the actual revelation of God and His Word.